On WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. We're at Campbell Road Nursery. You can't find a better place to be. Don't tell me that. I know the beach is great. The mountains are wonderful, but Campbell Road Nursery. And she has pastries.
Uh-huh. And Bojangles biscuits.
Biscuits. She got biscuits. I don't know where Phil is. She just cut out, and that's all she wrote.
Well, I mean, everybody wants to come talk to Phil.
Well, that's true, so I guess she's holding court someplace else. So, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. All righty, let's go to Herb in either Jamesville or Durham. Jamesville or Durham. Good morning, Herb.
Good morning, Brother Mike. How are you and Rufus and Tom and Bill and distinguished guest this morning?
Mark's with us. We're all
Mark.
Great. I see Phil off in the distance somewhere.
Yeah, Mike, I'm actually in Cambridge this morning, so I'm in a different place. I heard you
are
talk
you in
about
Cambridge, the England?
Right. Yeah.
No. I'm outside of the Boston Cambridge.
Oh, okay, Professor. What's going on? I can help you.
Well, you were talking this morning about the mumps, and you asked the question about the variation in the colors on the same plant. And that's a long story as far as genetics goes. But here's what I was going to say. I have mums that I went out back before I left, and I noticed they're budding up. And so it's the age-old question is, do I cut them back now, or do I let them go? And I think I'm so busy, I'm just going to let mine go, because they'll be pretty now.
They'll be very leggy, Herb. Leggy fall over.
Dan Danford's with us, who is in charge of the State Fairgrounds Flower Show area. Dan, Herb has a question about his mums. He said he's feeling kind of lazy and doesn't want to cut them back, but he shouldn't he?
Doesn't have to.
Nope. Okay.
So we have mums that are come back every year, and I don't cut them back.
Oh, okay.
I just let them come in. And what I'll do is clean up the dead stuff from last year, but that's after even they start growing.
Oh, okay.
But they must not be too tall, though.
No.
Okay, mums do fall over.
Yes.
Are these tall?
There's a lot of different mums, you guys. A lot of different mums out there. And so, like, for instance, when you guys, if I'm not mistaken, we're talking to the Chrysanthemum Society earlier today.
We did.
And if you ever, they put a display out there at the State Fair, the flower show. And mums are just incredible. All the different flowers and styles and shapes and colors. So, it's not going to hurt them to cut it back. You might as well. It's not going to hurt them at all. There's ones I don't cut back, but yeah, you can cut them back.
All right,
Mike, I have one quick thing on this color variation. Real quick, there are two or three things. One is it's the genes, and to give an example, you could do it by inducing, like, hydrangeas. You can put different chemical on them to make them acid or alkaline, and the color will be different.
Lime, or the different thing.
But let me tell you one more thing, and that is, look at the human body, and you can see that on one part of your head you have gray hair, and on one part you have black hair. And it's all a matter of
hair.
Or no hair.
Yeah. So life is fascinating, and this business of gene variation, and the older you get, sometimes genes change things and whatever.
Right.
So it's a long story. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too, Professor Herb. Thank you very much. Have fun in Cambridge. All right. I brought in Dan. Dan was works here part of the year, and then takes care of that extraordinary flower show area at the State Fairgrounds. And, Dan, they tore your building down. How old was that, the flower show building?
Oh, goodness.
How old was that building?
Yeah. Do you have any idea?
Well, it was actually originally storage place for equipment.
Yeah.
So, older than me. Oh, very old.
Yeah. Okay. It is pretty old.
Well, it's gone. And so what's the status of that?
The building's gone.
Building's gone. And so how will you cope? How will you cope? I mean, you're going to have to put some of those plants.
Yeah, what's going to happen is, I mean, there's a new building coming.
Oh, yeah.
But they got a lot of other construction stuff going on right now at the fairgrounds. New bathrooms, redoing the bathroom facilities. There's a lot of other stuff. So the flower house and the greenhouse, what they'll do is they'll put up a big tent, a climate-controlled tent, so that we can at least still have the flower show.
Wonderful.
And people can still come and see all the different competition cut flowers and roses and dahlias and all that. So it'll all be there, just in a different form. And then hopefully, you know, the new building will be there soon. I think its plan is, and you know, it's part of the improvements that go on. And I'm not positive, but you know, the 2025-26 improvement campaign that they're doing. So they're also, remember where the old church buildings were. That's still, you know, that's being planned. That's going to happen. It's just a matter of getting it done and having the time to get it done, having the right contractors to do the work. So,
you got a lot of work ahead of you. When does that start?
Well, actually, the State Fair, I mean, I'm already planning for that. But this weekend is Got to Be NC Festival.
Yeah.
Which is really, that's halfway, a mini fair. And what's really nice is that's free admission. And then parking is along Trinity Road there, where we used to always be able to park back in the day for the state fair, and can't anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll be helping out. They're going to have a butterfly house there with some monarch butterflies in it.
Nice.
And thanks to Phil Campbell here, we're going to have some beautiful flowers for those butterflies. And you know, a lot of other stuff. So, I mean, it's the 16th, 17th, and 18th. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Got to Be NC Festival.
I hope it's great weather. The commissioner started this thing years ago, and it was one year. It was really extraordinarily hot. I think the first year they had it, but it's been a real success because it keeps going.
Well, it's a great showcase for North Carolina products.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, yep, looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll have great weather for it. Phil loses me for a couple of days, unfortunately, the Friday and Saturday.
Oh. Yeah.
We'll make it.
Yeah. Brother Dan, thank you so much, my friend. We always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, and this year the fair is October 16th through the 26th.
Before you leave, we've talked about the Gerber daisies. We haven't been able to talk about too many plants here. We talked about the Peggy Martin rose out there. What really catches your eye out here?
Mine?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's not fair. Because there's just so many. I'm a real fan of a lot of the perennials, and I'll tell you right now, the perennials, some of them are just really popping, like the Achillea, the Yarrow, Moonshine. It is just covered in just yellow flowers on it. So I really like that. probably the most right now.
Yeah, Dan's the perennial man. He's he loves the perennials, and he's really good at arranging those in the just the right spot, and helping people with all their questions with perennials. He's great.
Absolutely.
So we,
well, we appreciate your time, sir.
Yeah,
thank
he's
you, Dan.
Probably
thank
go
you.
Back and do traffic.
Thank you.
Traffic
I do.
Control.
I know. Traffic control at Campbell Road Nursery.
Oh, man, you're versatile.
But that's hey, if you're listening, you need to come because it's a beautiful day and Phil. The nursery, everything out here is just popping. I mean, the flowers.
If Phil has
everything.
To buy a few houses down the road here, we'll do that to get you a parking space. So
yeah, we can do it.
All right. Who else do we have? I've lost track here. Joel, who is next? Bob. Hey. All right. Bob, good morning. You're on WPTF. That's
good
just
morning.
Like the new Pope is Bob.
All right. Yeah. Well, I hope each of you are having a great day.
We are. Yeah.
Great. I have a situation with tomatoes that I've never had before, so I need your advice. I have a small garden, but enough for my wife and I. And before I could go and get plants, 2 weeks ago, I had plants coming up from where I planted last year. And I don't know if they're going to produce tomatoes. Should I dig them up and start with new ones? Should I replant these?
Did they produce last year? So the volunteers are from seed from last year? Were they?
I assume they are. I've never had them before, so I assume they're from last year, of course.
Oh, yeah. You'll get tomatoes from those. Absolutely.
Will I get enough to have enough tomato sandwiches?
How many do you have?
How many sandwiches do you want?
You got your mayonnaise? What kind of bread do you have?
You got to have Duke's Mint.
Got to be Duke's.
Well, I didn't know if they would produce as well as me going and getting new plants, or will these produce well, real well?
Yes, they will produce.
Fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine. If you've got plants, you'll have tomatoes.
Okay, all right. They're up against cages. I've got 4.5-foot metal cages, and they're not in the very center. Can I dig these up and plant them more in the center?
You certainly could, or you could move your cages.
Rufus,
what
advice do you have for Bob?
I have for Bob, keep them growing, Bob. That's all I
got. That's right.
Yeah, I hear you.
Tar Heel Gardener. Tom?
Tomato tone.
Tomato tone. Huh?
I've got that. But okay. Do I need to leave them? They're up right next to the cage. Can I transplant those to the middle of the cage so they'll have more room to grow all around the inside of the cage?
Well, you certainly can move them. However, they are established right there where they're growing. How big are they now? They're probably pretty, 6 inches, 12 inches tall?
I would say 12 to 15 inches tall already.
I would just move your cages around.
Yeah, get you some of those, that tie wire.
Yeah, you can use the tie and just tie them to the cage if they're that close.
I don't think I would.
I wouldn't personally mess up the roots. I would just leave them alone. They're happy.
All right. Would I want to plant some new ones where I have plenty of room inside the cage and have two in each cage?
You should be fine.
Just keep them 3 feet apart.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from Campbell Road Nursery in Raleigh. It's 9:20.
Something went by.
We're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmiston, Phil Campbell. We're at Campbell Road Nursery, and Mart Bumgardner, extension agent in Orange County. Tom Campbell, broadcaster extraordinaire, Hall of Famer, is with us. Stephen Keith has also just dropped by from the North Carolina Botanical Gardens in Chapel Hill. What a paradise that is. Y'all have so many things going on all the time, Stephen. I'm
sorry. Hey, Mike. Yeah, Maryland. Great to be here.
Yeah, so what's coming up here, buddy?
Well, spring has sprung at the Botanical Garden and all the nurseries around, and we're just loving the spring. So many plants in bloom. Wildflowers are just going crazy, so come visit. We just had our spring plant sale last weekend, so thank you so much, Weekend Gardener, for sponsoring that and putting on some ads. And we got a lot of people out there. We have a lot of perennials for sale. But we got a busy summer coming up. We have our kids' programs have really expanded. We have something called the Camp Fly Trap. It's something we rebranded our summer day camp for kids. And that is just a wonderful occasion for kids to come in and learn about nature and get their hands in the dirt and really walk around the woods and understand the flora and the fauna of the area. We're actually having a big fundraiser next weekend where we're trying to raise money for our kids. We want to build an outdoor classroom for the kids. So we're working hard on that, and it's a great thing. Come on out to the Botanical Garden. You know, it's Mother's Day weekend. We have several programs and opportunities for people just to bring mom, walk around, enjoy the garden.
And these are all native plants.
Yeah, the North Carolina Botanical Garden focuses on plants of North Carolina and the Southeast United States. We're not totally North Carolina native plants. We do have an herb garden, and we do have an area called the Garden of Flowering Plant Families, which is a real scientific garden. It kind of groups plants in their kingdom, their phylum, and their family and their genus, so you can see how plants are related and how ecologists and botanists group plants when they start putting them into categories.
And there are different kind of different sections of North Carolina. There's more of a mountain area.
Yeah, you can take a hike through whole North Carolina. We have a coastal plain habitat, we have a Piedmont habitat, and a mountain habitat. We're almost like a zoo of plants of North Carolina.
Stephen, that is so important. Trying to get these young children. My love of gardening came from my grandmother. And you know, once you like playing in the dirt, we need to teach that. We need to cultivate that.
Yep,
so
yep.
Congratulations on
Thank you. That's what we think. These are our next generations of environmental stewards. They're our policymakers. They're our attorneys. They're our radio hosts. All these kids need to learn about nature and plants and the benefit they bring to society.
Yeah. David, I will tell you about my Richie Bell's story.
Oh, Richie Bell, our first director at the Botanical Garden. He was a botany professor at UNC Chapel Hill as well.
Well, when I was attorney general, he called me up. He said, I want to grow a marijuana plant.
Oh, boy.
And I said, well, I'll tell you what. He said,
Did you say plant two?
No, he didn't say that.
I said, well, we'll take note of that, and I will notify the SBI. But I said, fence it in and keep it away from the students. We laughed about that.
Yes. I've heard that story before, and I can't confirm or deny that marijuana was grown at the North Carolina Botanical Garden.
Well, I can confirm.
We just don't know where at the Botanical Gardens.
Yeah. Oh, well. It was for research purposes only. I want you to know that.
I'm sure it was in the herb garden. The herb garden. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
That's where it would go.
It would certainly go there. I don't know if Mercer Hubbard would approve, but maybe she would. I don't know.
She wanted to make sure people learned about plants. So if that's what they need to know, that's what she's going to have out there.
That's right. Stephen, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come by and say hello.
All right. We are so glad to be involved with Botanical Garden.
Yeah, thank you, Weekend Gardener, for being a corporate sponsor. And everybody out there, just bring mom to the North Carolina Botanical Garden. We are open all weekend, even on Sunday. Our Sunday hours are now 9 to 5. So bring mom, tour around the garden, celebrate mom, have a good time in nature. And we hope to see you there in Chapel Hill, just off 15501. In Highway 54 in Chapel Hill.
That's right. All right. And after you go, maybe you go to Merritt's and get BLT.
Yeah, definitely. Yum. Definitely get that BLT.
All right. Work that in. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from Campbell Road Nursery on this gorgeous, it's an extraordinary May day here in North Carolina. back at WPTF at Campbell Road Nursery. Jeff got him a plant for his mama. In case she's listening, it'll be a nice one. You know, spring is when moles and voles become most active, and if you're not careful, they'll quickly turn your beautiful lawn and garden into a mess. So don't wait for the damage to get worse. Stop them now with IMOS Garden Mold and Vole Repellent. You'll probably see moles around here and there during the season, raised tunnels, ugly dirt mounds, and holes that can you can trip over, I suppose, although they do, you know, aerate the soil. Let's face it, it's the voles that I worry about. Now, the voles are worse, definitely. They're small rodents that chew through roots, bark, and bulbs and leave your favorite plants damaged or dead. That's why across the triangle and beyond, I must garden mole and vole repellent is trusted. A powerful, all-natural formula that gets results without using harmful chemicals. Made with a unique blend of botanical oils and natural ingredients, of course. I mean, you can smell it. All those spices. It works by coating the food sources that moles and voles rely on, encouraging them to move on without leaving behind toxic residue or harming your plants or pets or the environment. You'll find IMOS Garden Repellents at independent garden centers and hardware stores throughout the triangle, including Campbell Road Nursery and Town and Country hardware stores, plus many other trusted local retailers. So this spring, protect your yard and garden the safe, effective way. Choose local, choose trusted, and choose IMOS Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. So,
Mike,
Phil, sir.
Of moles and voles.
Yes, sir.
The Canes are at home tonight. Playing those.
You don't like the Washington Caps.
I do not like the Washington Caps.
What don't you like about them?
They played nasty.
Well, isn't that the whole idea of hockey?
Well, they beat the Canes too.
And they beat us. They beat us Thursday night.
I don't know.
But tonight's the night.
Yes, they got it. Yeah, they don't want to get behind Washington.
Who would ever thought North Carolina would be a hockey state?
I know, but people are crazy about it, and I can see why.
I love it. We watch them.
Yeah.
It's, you know, once you can get your eyeball on that puck and follow it.
There's a puck?
Yeah.
Tom watches the fights.
That's right. I went to a fight in a hockey match.
That's right. Go Canes.
Amen.
Well, you were actually talking about voles. I had a call come in, and the guy's got about an acre and a half of trees that the voles have just literally girdled. All these pine trees. I'd never heard of voles attacking pine trees.
Me neither. I mean,
they were just saplings. Saplings, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but never heard them mess with pines. But
that's
anyway.
Unusual.
Yeah.
Rufus, you tell me that you were at the mansion recently. Did you get a chance? You didn't see the longleaf pines that were planted out there.
Oh, yes, I did.
How are they doing?
They're doing very well. And I remember Roy Cooper's wife told us, said, plant more than one. I said, how do you get them to live? She said, plant more than one. I don't know what that was, but they're three.
Pines are a family.
There are three there. Yeah.
Well, pines are a family.
Yeah.
Pines are a family.
That's right. Yeah.
It's an endangered species now.
Yeah, the longleaf pine. Yeah. There are groves of them, protected groves, I think, in southeast North Carolina. I know you.
But they need fire. They need fire to reproduce.
That's true. That's true. I knew we were working around to fire somehow.
I told you that he's got it in him.
Yeah. I mean, it's really fascinating to read about longleaf pines and their relationship with fires. Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is the pine cones are really tight with the seeds in them.
Yeah.
And so when you burn underneath them, the trees are resistant to fire. And so the heat actually opens up the pine cones, and so it can spread its seeds.
It's kind of like ants and the symbiotic relationship with peonies.
Yeah.
All right.
See, you can look at pine cones like after a rain, they close up, and then when the sun comes out, they open back up.
And boy, do they open up in the early spring with their pollen.
Yeah. So.
Johnny is with us.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I want to know what y'all would recommend to fertilize fresh Bermuda sod that I had to lay on my seawall here in Pamlico County. And we have not had the rain that the rest of the state have. We've had 0.6 for the entire month. So I've been watering. I've been up 3 hours a day watering every day, but they say to put fertilizer about at the 30-day mark. What, do y'all have a particular fertilizer you would recommend for Bermuda sod?
Soil sample first.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to tell you. People want to go have a tendency of wanting to go out and throw fertilizer out because everybody else is doing it. They see their neighbors doing it. But I just tell people what you need to do is get a soil sample and fertilize based on your sample.
Yeah. Okay. Bermuda is a little heavier feeder than some of the warm season grasses, but the Extension Service recommends 16-4-8. 16 is the nitrogen part of that analysis. And so if you could find something as low in nitrogen as possible, that's what I would recommend. You can certainly overdo it, especially when it's dry.
What part of Pamlico County are you in?
I'm in the vicinity of the China Grove Plantation off Genera Road.
Sure. Yeah, we've got a place down there near Camp Don Lee.
Oh, well, I'm going there on Thursday. They're on my charity list, and my sod was bought from Noose River Turf, which is right there by Camp Don Lee.
Oh, yeah. The Lee family. Yeah.
Well, when you're down there, confirm what we said with those folks. I'm sure they have an opinion, especially if it's really dry down there. The nitrogen is, you don't want a lot of nitrogen.
All right. You got any remedies to keep a river otter off my sod? Because they really enjoy coming in one particular corner and playing with it and pulling it up.
Tom, do you have any trouble with river otters?
No, but a 22 ought to solve it.
Wait a minute. There's something that
I think they would frown on that.
Have you got a trap?
I do not have a trap.
You might want to try that.
Seem to be a lot of them on the river.
Trap and put and just move him somewhere else on the river.
Okay,
miles.
I've tried that in cayenne pepper. It worked for a day, and then, when I water wash. But anyway,
so what are they after?
They're coming up on my sod because it's nice and comfortable to sit on.
Oh, they're rolling around on it. Yeah,
they're rolling around. They're eating a fish because you can see the scales. Just it's nasty. And as soon as they put that big paw down in the ground, it just rips it up. It's not a disaster, but it's irritating. And
yeah, I'm sure
they usually do it at night, but one of them actually came out in the broad daylight yesterday and just laid down there. I personally scared him away. But
they're thirsty. I mean, we hadn't had any rain down.
Well, that's right.
That's why it's terrible.
0.6 inches this month, and yesterday's rain, the Raleigh, we got 15 minutes of it. But we'll take it.
Well, the paws probably aren't great for it, but
the fish
scales might be be some fertilizer. Kind of rake it around or something. I don't know.
Ain't many fish down there either.
Have you been fishing, Tom?
When I was a boy, we could go out with a rod and reel, put shrimp on two hooks, and we could catch supper anytime we wanted to.
Right.
You can't do
it. They keep closing the seasonal. I mean, the speckled trout, they closed the season on that because they felt so
well, last year, you
killed.
Couldn't catch and keep a single flounder.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yep. The entire season. You're exactly right.
Well, you used to could catch spots like...
Yeah, croakers.
Spots and croakers two at a time. You can't do that. They're not there.
They're gone.
So, well... I don't know. It sounds like you need to talk to the Wildlife Commission. They may have some other, more practical ways of dealing with.
So soil test and low nitrogen is what I'm hearing.
Yes, sir. Definitely, especially since it's dry down there, and you may want to put off fertilization until you get some rain.
Well, young lady and gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you calling.
Bye bye.
Bye. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from Campbell Road Nursery here on WPTF. It's 9:43. Campbell Road Nursery, and Phil is gone again. Rufus is gone again. Oh, Rufus, I see Rufus. He's politicking.
He's eating a jelly donut.
Eating a jelly donut.
This is a guy who complains about diabetes.
I know. He comments it as he's smacking away.
Yeah.
Well, he
People
does.
People are really starting to come in now. You know.
I know. Finally, they're waking up. Saturday's time to sleep. I noticed that. Irvin, I noticed that, and Ann and I especially. As the years went by, that we would get fewer calls at 8 o'clock in the morning. People are listening, but they're not calling because they're lying there in bed or they're asleep. So.
Well, I really enjoy watching people, and I see a lot of carts going by. I saw a cart that was loaded with garden vegetables. I saw tomatoes and peppers and some eggplant. So I just love watching people buy stuff.
So, Tom, you bought some new varieties of tomato plants. Is this the year?
I think so. How late is too late to be planting tomatoes?
that's a good question.
I mean, to get yield.
Yeah, you've got to look at the seed packet and see, you know, how many day variety that you're purchasing. So, and then you backwards plan from your frost date, and that's probably about it.
Well, I bought plants this year because I did my seed like Craig talks about, and they didn't come up well, and so I bought some plants, and then I replanted my seeds, and of course they came up then. So
did you have a grow light or
got a grow light? I got a grow light from Gardener Supply.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, now, from my experience, if you have a heating mat, it's better than the grow light.
Really?
Yes, because what's happening is you're heating the soil, and the soil temperature is what causes germination. So the seed moisture and heat will help those plants germinate much faster. The grow light doesn't do much except it throws light for photosynthesis from the top. So if you heat the soil on a soil mat, that'll probably speed up your process.
Is that true with all seeds?
Well, usually the ones you put in the bed. Yeah. Because remember, I mean, usually we're talking annuals, okay, summer annuals.
Yeah, I'm having a tough time with zinnia seeds.
Yeah, same way. Same. Try put
so
a heat
where
mat.
Do you get the heat mat?
You probably have one here at Campbell Roots, but you can get them online, Amazon or whatever. Just
well, if Phil's got it, I'll buy one.
Yeah, a mat, heat mat, heat mat.
Where can Tom find a heat mat?
We don't sell it.
Okay. Gardener
Supply.
Well,
if Phil doesn't sell it, I probably don't need it.
That's right.
Well, you know, we use in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the use of here, Dan. Take that. We were just talking about Tom. Restate your question.
Well, I was just saying that I had planted my tomato seeds and did it earlier this year. Had a grow light. And didn't get a whole lot of yield out of them, so I went out and bought some plants and tried it again, and this time I got some
where did yield. Where did you start the seed?
When?
Yeah.
Mid-February.
And where?
In my little shed house behind the house.
Like a little cold frame? Heated?
No, it wasn't heat.
That's what I was telling him, is a heat mat.
Yeah, you need
that laugh is kind of sinister.
Yeah. you know what they like? They like that heat. They need that warm soil for those.
Now you tell me. Craig didn't say
we're talking about heat mats and seeds, seed beds.
But Julio didn't say anything about heat mats.
yeah, Gerald used to use heat mats. He'd bought a ton of them when
well,
he was
Well, I got a heating
here.
Pad. Will that work?
Yes.
Sure.
Anything.
I mean, if it's big enough.
My wife might not like it.
That's right. I've got heat tubes down here. I got six tables full of heat tubes if you want to grow something out, Tom. That's where the Holly Springs food cupboard starts all their stuff.
Well, I love doing it. I mean,
well,
it's just fun.
Well, it's an excuse to come here, too.
Watching, come here and plant it.
Watching them.
Yeah.
Watching them grow.
Yep.
Commissioner, do you feel nourished?
nourished with a
jelly donut.
Jelly donut. It was raspberry, in fact.
I'm going to tell Linda on you.
Well, good. Just tattle on me.
It's not the first time you've been tattled on, is it?
No.
Being a politician, that happens all the time. A recovering politician.
Recovering.
Yeah, I'm
recovering
sorry.
Politician.
So, Marty, do you have Master Gardener training yet? When is yours coming up?
That's a really good question. We have decided that we're going to actually move it up. And normally we start in September of even-numbered years. But this year, we've actually decided to start in January. So so that the Master Gardeners will finish in April and then go right out to garden before they finish in December and then have to wait 3 months to start gardening.
Yeah.
So by changing it, I think that's going to be a lot better for our group of people, and we're really excited about that. So fantastic. January 2026, we'll start advertising and taking applications probably November-ish, October, November.
And you don't have to be a plant guru. You will learn what you need to know.
If you have an interest in gardening, that's all you really need is a general interest. We'll teach you everything you know. It's a volunteer operation. We're after people to help Extension reach out into the community. So it's an extension of our right. my ability as an Extension agent.
What are some of the ways they reach out to the community?
We have a program called Dig Deeper, where we go to the library or we go to the Seymour Center, and we teach certain programs on general gardening. We teach on pollinator gardening. We teach on shrubs and trees, natives. We also we visit or we go to the Carrboro and Chapel Hill and the Eno River Farmers Markets and have a table and answer questions for homeowners. So that's one of the outreaches. We have a couple. We have something called a seed library where we give away free seeds. And we give those away at the Eno River, at the farmers markets. We do a lot of writing. We put articles in the Chapel Borough, which is a online version. And we also put, we have our own website, theorangegardener.org. All one word, theorangegardener.org is our website. And we put a lot of information there.
So you need people from all walks of life, with all kinds of talents.
Absolutely. So web design, we'd love to have people that know anything about web design and people that have a passion about gardening and love people.
How many hours do they devote to this course?
That is a great question. We meet, it's about a 14-week, 3.5 hours once a week for about 14 weeks. For the initial training, and then they're required to do after that 30 hours of volunteer time and 10 hours of education.
Speak to that volunteer time. What kind of volunteer projects do they have to do? Or should they?
What we were just discussing a few minutes ago about how the outreach into the community, but usually there's some kind of a project. In the past, we've had the Master Gardeners learned about design, and they would design a garden. We've actually executed those gardens after they've created the designs and been very successful. So our demonstration gardens around the building were designed by Master Gardeners, and they upkeep the gardens. So their time is volunteered. We also have a plant sale in October. I'm very excited about that. It's going to be at Blackwood Farm Park. This year, we've outgrown our space for parking at the Extension office, so we're now moving it out to Blackwood Farm Park, which is a multi area. We're also going to be bringing in educational booths, and with those, we're also bringing in partnering with the community for education, such as the Wildlife Commission or people like the Audubon Society, the Bluebird Society. We're hoping to have some raptors out there so people can come see big birds.
Like owls and eagles.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. How about that?
That is so interesting.
Yeah, we're continually to expand our reach into the community, so I'm very excited about our Master Gardener program.
We're at Campbell Road Nursery in Raleigh, and we got to slow down a little bit. We're quickly running out of time. We only have an hour left in the show with Weekend Gardener here on WPTF, Campbell Road Nursery on Campbell Road in Raleigh.